Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Campbell. I'm fortunate to be here on staff at St. Stephen United Methodist Church. And it's been a couple weeks since I've seen you. I know some very real things have been going on in your life as well as mine, and I'm just so glad to be with you right now. I had the flu. It really knocked me off my feet for a couple weeks. There were some wonderful things going on here at the church that I was preparing for, and I'm so grateful to have a wonderful team and staff that made sure to send their greetings to you as well. And so Matt Comer is incredibly talented, and I just feel like God has put together a really great team here. And so I hope that you're finding the community around you that spurs you on and encourages you and brings messages as well. I'm very grateful to have that team here. It's really neat here in worship on campus this morning. There's an incredible witness of the long game, of somebody who's been in this congregation and took some of our classes, and at this point in his life has asked to be baptized. And so that was very special that we were here with Ira this morning, and I'm going to be referring to baptism in the message. And in addition, we had an incredible talent show this past Sunday to encourage those who are willing to set forth their bravery and to cheer those on who bring their gifts and talents before the Lord, several of which are youth who lead in our youth band. And then this past weekend, we also had a Walk to Emmaus gathering. If you've never been to a part of a Walk to Emmaus, we want you to ask us about that. Please put that in your login, or if you want to go deeper in your faith, I would love to talk to you more about that. We were at a women's retreat this past weekend, and God did incredible things. I hope that you're exploring your faith. All the things I'm going to share with you are things I've been fascinated by. I hope you can go deeper as you experiment with what it looks like to be in a very real and present relationship with Christ. That's the fun thing about these disciples, is they were a very unlikely crew to be together. Very unlikely crew to kind of leave everything behind and follow Jesus. They literally don't know where they're gonna sleep. This women's retreat, I'm used to retreats being super grungy, right? Like you're gonna sacrifice a little bit of comfort to be there, but that's also part of it, is getting out of your comfort zone. And fortunately, this women's retreat was actually really nice. And that's so wonderful and valuable to me. I can't imagine being a disciple of Christ, but there's something about Peter who knew that this would be the best decision of his life. I really like Peter because he's a bit of a wild card. And so as we reflect on the eyewitnesses of the cross, I'm excited to talk about Peter and his journey today. Well, let's reflect back. The eyewitnesses of the cross. We started week one with Judas. I'm not great at spending time on the side of history before the cross came, unless it's talking about the hope and the light and the completion of God's mission. I'm not good at sitting in the spaces of my life that are still gut-wrenching. I'm not good at acknowledging that healing takes time. So then we were challenged with the story of Nicodemus and how he shared his light, and the very real factors that made him hesitate, but the very real desire that lived in him to shine that light. And we finished that sermon by saying we think Nicodemus went on and that he essentially left the council of Pharisees. And maybe that light shone a little brighter down the road. We got to hear from Mary, who was there from the beginning, including the angels revealing to her her calling. She put the pieces together as she goes, including that night at the cross. No parent should ever have to lose a child, especially in that way. And it was so unjust. I love that question. Mary, did you know? What parts of truth did she have resting with that very real experience? Why I like these disciples, and I love the journey with Jesus, because God is over all time and space. and very much so cares about the location you're sitting in right now. I want to encourage everyone with me on the count of three to go ahead and say the address of your home. One, two, three. That is a special place for God and where God dwells. I love that I own a home up in Greensboro that I am proud of. I don't live there, though. I live here in Charlotte, and they tell you to live where your ministry is and to bloom where God is calling you. I have a terrific house here with a backyard and a dog, amazing roommates. God is present in my dwelling place and in my car and in my neighborhood and in my workspaces and as I go down the road. And I'm so fortunate that people trust me and share the most vulnerable parts of their story. Isn't it weird that the disciples, this unlikely group of people who didn't even know each other, would journey together? And you would think, with them knowing each other for as long as they did, their stories might be a little bit more consistent. But I want to challenge everyone to think of the color green. That might have evoked emotions for some, that might have given you a shade or a color. But I imagine that if we were able to pull that one thought really quick and line up everybody's impression of green, they would all be different. And so here we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by disciples who spent 3 years of their lives not even knowing where they would sleep a week from now. And their stories are different. And there's something beautiful to that. So Mark was written first. And clearly, Matthew and Luke are very similar to Mark. And then John was written last, and it is completely different in so many ways. John is very enjoyable to read. If you've never challenged yourself to pick up a Bible and just read, John is a very approachable book to read. Great narratives. But John did not write them in order. He did not write them as if you were going to follow a timeline in order. And it drives me a little crazy. But that's okay, because I like that Peter is a wild card. I like that John isn't written in order. And so let's start at the beginning. When did Jesus and Peter even meet? And that's the thing, is Jesus met Peter while Peter was still Simon. Have you heard that before? Simon Peter? Simon Peter is because this interaction would be life-changing. We are going to turn to John 1:40-42. In this section of scripture, we hear that John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, one of which was Andrew, when his cousin Jesus truly came to town. I'm going to make these references, family relationships, brothers, because these are very real relationships. So as Jesus walks by, John the Baptist says, "That is Jesus the Messiah." And John's two disciples who were standing there with him kind of got the right message. They knew their assignment. They left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. As they're following Jesus down the road, they say, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." Andrew's instinct is, this is important. This is a big deal. And so he goes and gets his brother Simon. Simon and Andrew and this other disciple are joining Jesus that evening. And when they all meet for the first time, Jesus tells Simon that his name is going to be Cephas, C-E-P-H-U-S, meaning rock, the rock on which I will build my church. This is Peter's first calling. The rock on which I will build my church. They've known each other less than 5 minutes, maybe 20. And Jesus speaks this with such confidence. Part of that is because Jesus asks Peter, his new identity, Peter, "Who am I?" If Peter's response is, "You are the Messiah," and Jesus knows that there's no way that this had been revealed to him previously, and so he says to him, "My Father in heaven revealed that to you. You are blessed because you know the truth." This is the beginning of Jesus's journey. And so it's not common knowledge. It's not going around. This is pre even the disciples gathering. And Peter, it's revealed this incredible truth. In the other Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, they talk about how Jesus was walking along and that there's two sets of brothers who work together in fishing, and they're out and they're fishing, right? And if you're a fisherman, you've learned this from people. You've been doing this for a very long time, and they had a crummy day. They were not bringing anything in. Can you imagine at your job, you're not doing so great, and let's say even on a really good day, you bring in a great haul, you bring it to the market. And the Roman Empire is still going to charge you taxes on it. So this is like a very menial job, low profit. And yet, this is your profession, your pride, how you provide for your family, what you're known for. And Jesus comes, actually jumps out of the boat and runs to Jesus. And Jesus shouts to the fishermen and to Peter and encourages him to throw the net on the other side of the boat. And they're like, dude, we've been doing it all day. It's not going to happen, right? And this is the story where they pull in the fisherman haul of the year, where they have to bring the boats together because there's too many fish to even fit in the boat. And the two sets of brothers in each of these boats become a part of Jesus' disciples. Some people will downplay this, and they'll say that was a menial job, it didn't make a lot of money, they would have no problem leaving. I don't know about y'all, but I don't even like the idea of not sleeping in my own bed more than 5-6 days in a row. Maybe if I have this great big dream or vacation, or I'm going someplace that has a beach or some international adventure. First of all, not all of us are adventurers, but it takes that level of enticing for me to be willing to not live in my own space, have access to my own stuff, and sleep in my own bed. And these disciples were leaving. Even scripture goes into telling us the names of their fathers. Relationships, legacy. In the Middle East, people have lived in the same spot for generation upon generation upon generation upon generation upon generation upon generation. As long as you can think back. And here are these young men who are just going to give it all up and follow Jesus. What was it about the clarity in that moment that they said yes to? So as they're going along, they bring in this haul. They leave their fathers. It's so interesting because scripture emphasizes who their fathers are like over and over and over again when they talk about these disciples. Because the emphasis then becomes that the Father in heaven revealed truth to them. And so there's a distinction that your father on earth and your father in heaven, your spiritual father, are giving you different sets of knowledge, which is important. We learn from those around us. This is actually quite the important emphasis about fathers and family relationships. And I have a funny side story to share with you. My dad's name is Glenn Gamble. For some of you, that is going to immediately ring a bell. You're going to know the reference of that name. And so he was a country artist around the same time as Willie Nelson. And so Glenn is a famous name. My dad is not the country singer, but the name incites those memories. And so my dad was leading a youth home repair retreat. And during that home repair retreat, they took his pillowcase and they glued rhinestones to it in the word cowboy on every side and surface of that pillowcase. And so one of the songs by Glenn Campbell, the country artist, is Rhinestone Cowboy. He can take a handful of some Glenn Campbell jokes, but they get old pretty quick, especially if it affects his ability to sleep while trusting God and students with power tools. Just saying. But the nature by which we're trusting God, a Heavenly Father. And even if you've not had great relationships with maybe the father figures in your life, this is a spiritual revelation. And as we heard in Jesse's sermon last month, worship is a response to God's revelation in our life. And so if when you hear the word father and you need to say God's revelation, that is okay. God is big enough to handle that. So, Heavenly Father or family relationships, let's talk about baptism. It is so cool, and you can see it in the front pages of our hymnal, the liturgy behind a baptism. And so when we go to baptize a child, an adult, you or me, they use our first name, but no longer referring to our last name, similar to Simon Peter, in referencing that the baptism is taking place. Because we're saying that while God acknowledges us in a very real time and space, experiencing and walking through life with what we're experiencing just alongside us, that also we are now adopted into the heavenly kingdom family, that we refer to each other as brothers and sisters. Can you imagine being on this journey in hand with each person who is declared God to be the Lord and Savior of their life, to learn and model after Jesus, to lean into what the Holy Spirit is doing? I'm glad I have a team and a family to do it alongside with. And let's get real, right? Okay, so these disciples, and I bet Andrew originally invited Simon to meet Jesus, who became Peter. And now Andrew and Peter, who has this new name, right? Peter is essentially in Jesus's top three at one point. Jesus is walking alongside these young men and hoping to train them up and teach them the things that the world is going to need to carry out this mission. I bet at some point, Andrew regretted inviting Peter. I don't know about you. And feel free to, raise your hand or nudge the person next to you, or, you know, just laugh. But I want you to think of somebody who is important to you and has had a lot of influence in your life, but also drives you absolutely crazy. And that person is probably a sibling, a spouse, or a close friend. I want to tell you, I have an older brother and I have a twin sister, and there is nobody in this world who can drive me as crazy as they do. And we have been in close proximity for our life, and they know me in ways people don't know me. I know them in ways people don't know them. And it's a beautiful thing, and it also drives me up. Nothing makes my blood boil quite like my siblings. I bet at one point Andrew wondered why he invited Peter to be a part of the team. But it's beautiful because they went on this journey. And I don't know about you, I have found out that people are loving the Survivor shows, Alone. I got so hooked on Alone. And after a while, traveling around and surviving together is probably the richest bonding experience you could possibly have. One of those bonding experiences is sharing a meal. And so as these disciples get to the upper room to celebrate Passover, they're celebrating God's presence in their lives and all of the things their people have overcome up until this point. They're actually sitting and gathered at the table with the Messiah, whom they acknowledge and know to be the Messiah. And Jesus is saying things like, I will return in 3 days. One of you is going to betray me. And he directly says to Peter in Matthew 26, 35, Peter, you are going to deny me. Can you imagine leaving everything behind, walking steadfastly with somebody for weeks after years, doing weird things, like feeding loaves and fishes to people, where the disciples then forget to eat themselves. Giving it all up. Peter steps out of the boat to try to trust God at one point. Jesus says to him, "You are going to deny me." Peter and the other disciples say, "There's no way. No way." So as the evening plays out, the Last Supper concludes, and they walk with Jesus up the Mount of Olives to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is arrested. Jesus had already told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." It's after Jesus is arrested that the disciples disband. They're isolated from each other, and they're afraid. Would you watch this skit with me? I want to set the tone for you. The main character in the skit, my friends Ella and Dave. Ella is having a tough day. She's going through life as we do. There's some things that are uncertain. She seems confused. She's not really sure what to do next. But things are about to change for her. But I think you might relate to her journey. Would you join me? I relate. And there's been moments in my life where I even have to think, when is it hardest to keep Jesus present? On the phone with the Consolidated internet company, when I feel like I've been wronged, when I'm holding a grudge for years upon years. Man, I don't need none of Jesus' love and hope in those spaces because I want to handle it the way I want to handle it. And that might be personal things that come up in our life. So I can't even imagine being Peter. When we think about Peter and we say to ourselves, or at least we hope to ourselves, that we would not deny Jesus. Peter's friend, closest best friend whom he's been walking with, was wrongfully accused, sentenced to death, and murdered in the most gruesome way the world had even discovered at this point. And to have called anybody Messiah besides Caesar. They believe Caesar is supposed to be the Roman god, and so acknowledging anybody else's kingdomship or leadership was a death sentence. So Peter was scared. So he hides and he isolates himself from his team, his family, his disciple crew. And he's asked, did you know Jesus? He says, no. And he turns and he goes another way. And he's faced again with the opportunity to speak about Jesus as he comes across another group speaking. And he denies him. And for the third time, he's terrified. And he's even taken all of the last 3 years and said, I can't. And denies Jesus a third time before the rooster even crows. We know a little bit about Judas's story. We have speculation about Nicodemus's story. We get to hear a little bit more about Mary. Peter, he's on this journey. He left everything behind. And there was a clear calling that was placed on his life. Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. And Jesus didn't make a mistake when he said that. The clarity of that calling is just as true, even the night before the rooster crowed. I hope that you'll stay tuned with us. Join us for our continued study of the eyewitness of the cross, that you will hold these truths in your heart to be fascinated and even read ahead. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for exactly who you are and the callings you place in our life. God, we fail. We stumble and we fumble in big ways. God, we thank you that you came relentlessly to love us and ensue grace. So God, in the places in which we have declared you our Lord and Savior, that you have changed our identity and claimed us in your own family, God, we walk faithfully with you and we know the cross to be borne. The cross you were called to bear. So God, would you bring us alongside as eyewitnesses of the cross, that we might be the carriers of your mission in this world. In Christ's mighty and precious name, amen.